I've talked to a lot of people, and maybe you have too, about, you know, when did you change your mind about things? At what point in your life did you begin to think differently about the world and about society? And people have different answers, and some people it's very hard to trace. For some people, it's a very gradual thing. For some people, it's somebody they encountered. For somebody, it's a book they read, or a teacher they had, or a friend they had who influenced them, or something in their lives. And it varies from person to person. And so in my case, you know, you might say I was ready to become a radical from, as you say, a liberal. I don't know if even I was a liberal. I was sort of nothing. I jumped from nothingness to radicalism. Part of it was I began to read at the age of 17, so read about fascism in Europe read books by Upton Sinclair about socialism and so on, but I didn't have any formed political opinions. But the incident he's referring to is the fact that when I was about 17 years old and living in New York, living in Brooklyn, I confess, and some, I, and there were these radical guys on the block, sort of, they were a couple of years older than me, and they seemed very politically sophisticated, and they were probably young communists. And they asked me if I would come to a demonstration in Times Square. I'd never been to a demonstration in my life. I didn't know what a demonstration was, but I always wanted to go to Times Square. And so I went along with them, and we get to Times Square, and there are always, Times Square is Times Square. It's very crowded with people and so on. There, the big clock on the top of the Times building. And I said, where's the demonstration? My friend said, wait, 10 o'clock. When the clock strikes 10, suddenly, all around me, banners unfurl. And people are marching and people are chanting. And that's something to do with war. No more war. So, you know, who knows? That's how, you know, nothing I was, you see. But it was something I believed in. I wouldn't have joined a march of the Ku Klux Klan or of the military. But so it was something that seemed good. And then at a certain point in this, so there we were, you know, going along, and there were all these people with all these banners, and then my friend says to me, hey, these two women are holding these banners. This is before the age of, you know, this was still a macho age, you know. We men will take over the banner from these two women who are obviously too weak to hold this banner, right? So we, 17-year-old kids are that way too. And we relieved these two women of holding the banner, and he held one end and I held the other. Don't ask me what was on the banner. I once, in the 1980s, a huge anti-nuclear rally in Central Park, found myself holding a banner which said, "Gays from Hoboken." So those things happen, you know. But anyway, so we're holding this banner, and suddenly I hear sirens. And I thought, ah, there must be a fire somewhere around. That's how innocent I was. And before I know it, I see police all over the place on horses, mounted horses, and they're swinging their clubs, and they're beating people, and they're breaking up the demonstration. And before I know it, I am hit on the side of the head, spun around and hit, and knocked unconscious. And I wake up, I don't know how much later, I wake up in a hallway, and it was like a dream. I wake up, and Times Square is exactly as it was when I arrived. No sign of a demonstration, no sign of police, no sign of my friends. But I was furiously indignant, because I believed that in the United States, people could march, could carry banners, could even chant, you know? That's America. And in America, you know, this happens in fascist countries, but no, America, police come and break up the demonstration.